You're now listening to The Festival of Football, presented by Billy Harvey and Henry Barrett.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 4 of The Festival of Football podcast. And today, me and Billy are going to be speaking about the weekend games that happened in the Premier League. We're also going to be talking about the Champions League potentially being moved to London. And then a fun little section at the end, we're going to be talking about who we want West Ham and Spurs to buy this summer. Basically, we're going to have 5 picks of who we can bring in. Obviously, it has to be realistic. We can't say Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi. We're going to be realistic about it. We're also going to talk about some players that we want to sell, because obviously we both have some deadwood at the club that we want to get rid of. So yes, but we'll start off recapping the weekend games, Bill. Did you see much of the weekend games?
Yeah, I pretty much watched most of them, which was nice. It was a festival of football, shall we say, for me during the weekend. It was actually nice to sit down and just do nothing and watch them. I think I was feeling a bit sorry for myself on Saturday because I was out Friday night, so I just sort of laid on the sofa and watched all of the games. So I couldn't ask for much more.
Oh, lucky you. We'll start off. We'll just recap all the results. So Friday night, we knew that Leicester lost 4-2 to Newcastle. I'd say it's a surprising result, but I watched the game and Newcastle battered them. So Leicester were lucky to even get 2 goals, in my opinion. Newcastle, I think, just went to sleep at the end and just let in 2 goals. And yeah, but Wilson showing that he's crazy. He's a great player, same as Saint-Maximin. I mean, Newcastle keep them fit next season. I think they've got a good shot of moving up the table away from the relegation zone because they've got a good team. We'll go into the Leeds and Tottenham game in more depth, as we will with the West Ham game. But as we know, Leeds beat Tottenham 3-1. Sheffield United lost 2-0 to Palace, predictable result. Man City and Chelsea, we'll talk about that game as well. Chelsea beating Man City 2-1. Liverpool 2-0 against Southampton. I mean, Southampton, I watched the game and I was like, come on, Southampton, do West Ham a favour. And they had chances, they had moments, and I was like, they can do it. But then they just, you know, typical when you play a big club, you don't have the right mentality. Wolves beat Brighton 2-1. I saw bits of that game, and from what I did see, Brighton looked like they were on top until the red card, and then I think it changed. Villa and Man United, again, Man United turn it around at half time. I tell you what, Bill, they're a good losing winning bet on the old football bets, half time, full time, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what Ollie says to him. Maybe he like gets Sir Alex in at half time and gives him the old hairdryer treatment. Maybe he's replicating that because it seems to work.
Starts kicking boots around.
That's it, yeah. Cups of tea flying and everything.
Yeah. We'll also go into West Ham one, as I said, in detail. West Ham lost 1-0 to Everton. And Arsenal 3, West Brom 1, which again was predictable. We knew that you thought that Arsenal would win even though they've been poor. So we'll start off with the Tottenham game. Thoughts, Bill?
I thought we were very poor. I watched the game, saw Leeds go ahead, fully deserved to go ahead. We obviously pulled one back. We were playing okay. I think the commentators got a bit excited about Dele Alli's performance. I thought he was okay. And then obviously Kane had that goal ruled offside that was, you know, a toenail offside, shall we say. But it was offside, so it had to be disallowed. And I thought that Leeds actually deserved to win watching it. Like, there was at no time did I think we was going to win that game. I always thought it was a matter of time before they got the second, and they did. And then, you know, they wrapped it off with a third sort of late on. And it's like I said, you know, before, that Ryan Mason doesn't have a plan B. Tottenham don't have a plan B. We have no philosophy, and then this is the results that we get. Leeds are a good side. They've done well against the so-called Big Six teams this season. They're a team that are very underrated. Given if you look at the quality of their squad, I wouldn't say they were the best players, but Bielsa gets the best out of them. And I think they could be a real force next season. If they spend decent money in the transfer market and bring in the right players, they could be challenging for Europe next year.
I definitely agree with that. My only issue, I'd say, would maybe be would he stay the manager? Because, you know, you got Arsenal, will they sack Arteta? Tottenham need a manager, you know. You never know what other big clubs in Europe might sack the manager and be like, oh, we could bring him in and he'll do a job. You know what he's done at Leeds. He's basically took Championship players and turned them into Premiership players. He's got the best out of them, and he's doing what he needs to do to to make Leeds do well. I mean, I didn't personally see the game. I watched like highlights here and there, and I just when Dallas scores, you know, straight away, you know, Leeds are going to be all right because that means their game plan's working. And then when Tottenham equalised, I thought, oh, no, not Tottenham. No, Tottenham, don't do this. Because obviously, I don't want Tottenham to win because I want West Ham to get Europe. And then Kane, as I said, we were talking while I was on, and he was like, oh, Kane was offside. I saw it. I saw the picture of VAR. Yeah, it's a toe, but it's a toe, mate. He can score. The ones that I think are ridiculous is when they're doing the arm. Because, like, the sleeve of the arm and stuff, like no player's going to score. And even if he does score with his arm, 9 times out of 10, they're going to give it for handball, because when he's going to nudge it like that, it's probably going to hit below the sleeve and they're going to give that for handball anyway. So the ones which I don't understand when people moan about, oh, it's only his toe offside. Like, you hear all these commentators all the time when they've got their agenda and their favourite players that's been put offside. Oh, it was only his toe. The attacker should be given advantage. Well, no, mate, his toe's offside. He can score with his toe. If it's his finger, fair indeed, because it's his finger. He can't score with his finger. But his toe, he can score with. So if it's offside, it's offside. Is it harsh? Of course, but it's offside. So, yeah, I mean, Leeds dominated you, mate. And it just goes back to what it is. You play it, some of the players you have, they're fickle. You know, they perform well 1 week and then they bottle it next week. It's like that classic saying, Spurs it up.
Yeah.
And yeah. You don't have a strong enough mentality. You know, look at Bow. He didn't turn up again, you know. And as we always say, Dele Alli's overrated. So, of course, they're going to overrate him and say how amazing he is. You know, ever since he scored that goal against Palace where he knocked it over his head and then hit it on the volley, since that day, people have been, you know, getting overexcited about him and whatever. But I don't see it personally. You know, I mean, unlucky for Kane that he didn't score. I like Kane, but I think it was a fair result at the end. And going what we're going to talk about in a little bit, I think Tottenham need a big summer. They need a big summer. They need to get the manager sorted out quickly so that he can bring in players that he wants. Because if you start the summer where you don't have a manager, obviously the Kane drama is going to go on all through Europe. And I wish it wouldn't, because it's going to affect him at the Euros. But, you know, at the Euros, he's going to play at the Euros and then he's going to sort his transfer out afterwards, or whatever, if he does leave or he doesn't leave. And me personally, I just think Tottenham need it to be done quickly so that the manager can come in and say, right, I want to bring in a centre-back, a right-back, and a midfielder, or whatever it is. But if you bring him in halfway through or after the Euros, it gives him such little time, mate. Such little time. Because what you've got to remember is the World Cup next year. So when the season starts, the World Cup's the following year, isn't it? There's none in the summer.
No.
It's not in the summer. So, yeah, you could say that they'll have more time then, but I personally think that, you know, Tottenham need to give this, whoever it's going to be, in straight away. Like, me personally now, I'd announce him. I'd announce him now and say, right, Ryan Mason's going to stay in charge to the end of the season, but we're bringing in, you know, the Brighton manager or Southampton manager. We're bringing him in at the end of the season. He's going to finish up at East Club at the end of the season. He's going to come to us, because then he already start making plans. But if you leave it too late, for me, I think it's going to be really bad. But yeah, from what I saw, the game, Leeds deserved it. And yeah, on their day, Leeds are a good teammate. And I see Leeds being right up there. As I said, the only problem is if they're not that far off it at the minute. You know, I think it's like, what, 5 points off of Europe? So, I mean, if Everton, Tottenham and West Ham lose all the rest of their games and they win, possibly, you know, the slightest chance that there is, they could get it this year, but that's looking unlikely. But yeah, I just think Leeds are a championship, quite a lot of championship players that he got the most out of, you know, and then he's added quality. And that's the difference. Whereas Tottenham are weak-minded, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's like you said, I don't think they're playing for Ryan Mason because they know he's not going to be there next season. Like you said, Gareth Bale doesn't need to play, does he? He's on loan. He's going back to Real Madrid. He's going to get his 600,000 a week, whether they sell him or not, or Zidane goes. No one really knows at this moment in time. Then you've got players like Kane, who obviously wants out. Then we've got players, like you said, like Dele Alli is just a hype job. You know, too worried about his social media accounts rather than playing football. And then, yeah, like you said, we will go through at the end the clear out that Tottenham need. And it's a huge one because I'll be honest with you, those players we've got are not good enough. They're very overrated. Players like Sissoko, Bergwijn, Højbjerg, Harry Winks, Ndombele, Lucas Moura. Like, the list goes on and on and on. Like you said, I think on the day Leeds deserved to win, they showed they were the better team. They knew their system. They had their philosophy. They play the way they play. You know what you're going to get, but it's effective. And I think we need a manager that will bring that to us. And yeah, hopefully they make an announcement soon, because that manager needs to buy the players that he wants.
Yeah. I mean, I look at it like you said, Bergwijn and Lucas Moura. I think they're both good players, like pretty decent players. I just don't think they get in the team enough. You look at that when Bergwijn? I can't even say his name, but you know what I'm about. When he first came to Tottenham, he was on fire, mate. Like, he came from PSV, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he was like, I remember that the hype about him was mad. He played against Man City, won you the game. And it was just like, he was like different. I thought, okay, he might be the player that takes Tottenham to the next level. He's young, he's got, he looks like he's got fire in him. And Mourinho just stopped playing him. And I'm just like, just because he doesn't fit the way Mourinho played. And that's what, you get the wrong manager in at the wrong time in a club and it ruins everything. It's like, I feel like as much as Pochettino had to go, if you stuck with him, I think you would have been all right this year. I really do. I think you would have been in top four because you had the sort of players that he could, blend with. I mean, I did see, I didn't read too much into it, but I saw the headline on a news article and it's talking about Pochettino going back to Tottenham.
I can't see that ever happening.
I mean, I don't think so either, but it's probably just media, trying to get clicks again. But still, I mean, it's one of them things. I don't know.
Would I take him back in a few years' time? Yeah, of course you would, because he's probably one of our most successful managers that we've had in recent times, barring Harry Redknapp. And Harry Redknapp goes underrated for Tottenham. And if you look at what he achieved for us with the players that we had that he achieved it with, players like Pascal Chimbonda, I mean...
Mate, Harry Redknapp was amazing. He's a top, top, top manager. He's a top, top player, as Harry Redknapp would say. Yeah. And bringing in Krejci, you had Defoe, you had Keane. Mate, I was just so angry that when we brought Robbie Keane in, that was the season he decided to not score goals. It pissed me off.
Oh, it happens. And I think, we need a manager that's a good man manager, someone who's going to put their arm around players and get the best out of them, because that's what players need now. If Harry Redknapp was managing now, he'd be at a top club. If he was a young manager now, he'd be at a top, top club, because his man management skills are immense. He gets the best out of players that are not very good. Like, we saw it when he was at West Ham. We saw it when he was at Tottenham. We saw it when he was at Portsmouth. He got the best out of those players that were, everyone thought that were past it, like Kanu and Sheringham and Yakubu.
Benjani.
Yeah. I mean, players like that he got the best out of,
I always remember that funny story that Harry Redknapp tells about Benjani. He's like, Benjani, we've accepted an offer from Man City. You're going to leave. No, Gaffer, I don't want to leave, Gaffer. I want to stay in Portsmouth. He's like, what? You don't want to go Man City? He's like, no, Gaffer, I want to stay here in Portsmouth, work with you and the players. I enjoy it. He's like, then Johnny, you're getting on the plane. You're going to Man City, because I think they offered about 20 million or something.
They did,
he's like,
yeah.
No, you're going. And he had to put him on the freaking plane. Brilliant. But yeah, Harry Redknapp's class, man. I remember him in the freaking jungle as well. He was class in that as well.
Yeah, he's a top bloke, isn't he? But yeah.
Yeah, he loves you. Is it Jam Roly Polies?
Yep. Remember that advert as well? That was great.
Brilliant. Okay, so we talk about the City-Chelsea game. Now, I was sitting watching this game and obviously I wanted City to win. I'm sitting watching it, having a few beers, and I'm just like, I had City here on top here. Look at this. At first, I thought this game's dead. Nothing was happening. I thought it was going to be a 0-0. And then Man City upped it. Sterling took it off Aguero. Aguero weren't happy that he scored. And then they get the penalty. And it's like, if Man City scored that penalty, it's game over. City win the league. It's all over and done with. Aguero decides to do a Panenka. What is he thinking? Like, it is... I mean, you do that against West Brom or someone, people are still going to be like, what the hell? You're doing it against Chelsea where you score the goal, you're guaranteed league title. I mean, the next time Man City play, they could be possibly 4 points ahead of Man United. The pressure's on them then. And then they're going to Newcastle, who are on a high at the minute. If they lose that game and Man United then win, that's only 1 point. Like, it's insane. I mean, all right, Man United's got Liverpool, they've got Leicester, they've got to play both of them games, like Tuesday and then Thursday. So likely that Man United will win them both, but very unlikely. But City, man, they're living dangerously. Like, they're trying their best to throw it away.
Yeah, and I mean, City dominated the first half, didn't they? I thought Chelsea were okay, but when Aguero stepped up for the penalty, like, I just went and got a drink because I was like, oh, it's 2-0. Like, this is the game, done now. I'll go and get a drink. Like, you know, I came back and I heard that he'd missed, and I was like, oh, did he hit the post or something? Then I came back, watched the replay, and I was like, what is he doing? Like, come on, Sergio, you're better than that. And Mendy, to be fair to him, Mendy read it all the way, and that was a big save. And I think psychologically that affected the game. As we saw, Chelsea went on to win it.
Yeah, definitely.
And it turned City over twice in the last two games. And, you know, it was this.
This is what I said to you. I said to you last time in the FA Cup, they did a job on them. They did a job on them here. All right, yeah, it was down to Aguero missing that penalty. If Aguero scored that penalty, it was game over. Mm-hmm. But in the second half, credit to Chelsea. I mean, they dominated. They defended well. And they did the right things. I mean, they had, was it two goals that were ruled offside? And it's like when they made subs, they took Kante off and it didn't even matter, you know? And they're bringing on, like, although Hudson-Odoi, I think he'll be great in the future. He's not got it at the minute. And I think, like, they're bringing him on and he's just still doing bits in the game and stuff. And it's just Man City couldn't handle what Chelsea were bringing on the day. And unfortunately for West Ham, Chelsea won, but they deserved it, to be fair. Although I do think Man City should have had a second penalty when Sterling got took out by Zuma. What did you think? Do you think it was a penalty?
Yeah. Guaranteed penalty. Like, it was clumsy from Zuma, and I saw it and I was like, this is going to go to VAR. This is going to get overturned, and he's gonna give the penalty, and, you know, City get another chance to get back in the game. And why it wasn't given, I don't know. I think maybe it wasn't given because they'd already been given one, and I think that plays with the referee's mind at times. We've seen it in, you know, games in the past as well. But yeah, for me, that was 100% a penalty. It was silly from Zuma, and he can't do that against bigger teams like that. You can't afford to keep giving them chances because he got away with one there, let's be honest.
I just think it was the player that it happened against, because Sterling's been known to go down easy in his time. I mean, if it was Mo Salah, they would have given that penalty. If it was Bruno Fernandes, they would have given that penalty.
He would have got two penalties, wouldn't he, Fernandes? He would have got that one. They would have given him another one in the game as well, because, you know, he always gets penalties.
Mate, it is what it is, isn't it? But I'm just saying, I think, me personally, I just think it was a penalty. But no, Chelsea deserved it at the end of the day. And it just, it leaves me with two thoughts. One, it makes you think, well, Chelsea have got to win the Champions League now, doesn't it? But then it also makes you think that Man City have lost to Chelsea so many times this season. In the Champions League final, are they just going to turn it up and, like, Chelsea can't live with them? It's going to be a fantastic game to watch in the final, to be honest. And we'll talk about that final in a minute when we talk about it being moved to London. But did you see in the Villa and Man United game? I think it was 1-1 at the time. It might have been 1-0 to Villa, I can't remember. But the Aston Villa attack, they headed it and Greenwood jumped up and he had his arm up in the air and he hit his arm and they gave it no penalty. They checked it with VAR and they still give no penalty. In my opinion, that was only not given because it was Man United. Any other club, if it was up the other end, that would have been a penalty. You don't jump. You jump with your arms up by your body to get that like that. So you put your arms down to get your head up, right? He jumped. His arm was up fucking here. That, to me, it was a joke. I couldn't believe it. Now, I personally wanted Man United to win, so they have more to play for in the next two games because it helps West Ham, basically, if they beat Leicester and Liverpool. But when that penalty wasn't given, I was going ape shit, mate, because it goes against everything in the game when you're not giving that penalty when it's been given all season. You know, Tottenham had one against Andy Carroll given because it hit Dyer when he was not even looking and his arm was here and he weren't looking, hit his hand, they give a penalty. But Greenwood jumps up, his arms far away from his body, he hits his hand. Oh no, it's not a penalty because it's Man United. It's clear as day, that's what it was.
100%. Yeah, and I thought the same thing. I was watching it and I thought, yeah, we'll go to VAR. It'll be a penalty. And then, you know, it is what it is. And then I thought they didn't give it. And I was like, it's Man United. You know,
it's always been the same way. Like back in the day, it was even worse. But you just got to look at these little subtle things and you see it. And it's always the case, man. The little soft penalties that Man United get as well. Like Man United fans, you can come at me if you want. I don't care. But the way I look at it is you're getting soft penalties, but you're not, that penalty wasn't given against you. If I was Villa, I'd be fuming. Fair enough, second half, Man United would bang on it and they deserve to win the game. But it's things like that that just really frustrate me because you watch it and you think, if my club had that done, that would be a penalty. So why is it not when Man United do it? Pissed me off.
Yeah, I know. It's that big club bias again, isn't it? And it's not just that, you know, if it was at Old Trafford, everyone would expect it. But I mean, it was at Villa Park and you thought, OK, yeah, if there'd have been a crowd in there, maybe it would have been a different decision because the crowd would have been screaming for it. The referee might have been a bit like, oh, you know, what do I do here sort of thing. And
I don't think so, mate. I don't think it. I think the referees now, they're, for one, they're really bad. Mm-hmm. Two, like, we'll move on to the West Ham game anyway, because we're going to talk about it next anyway. But the referee in that game yesterday, in the last two or three games we've had, they love to give fouls against West Ham, but they won't give West Ham fouls. They give them when they're blatant, but these little niggly fouls on Antonio, the referee's like, no, nothing. But then at the other end, you know, Diop or Dawson will do something, and then it'll be a free kick all the time. And it's really starting to piss me off because I see it's like the standard of refereeing, you only notice it the most when it affects your club. You know, like Arsenal have noticed it a lot this year because it's happened to them. Their fans go on about it. But I also look at it and I feel like refereeing mistakes could be the difference. You know, you look at it last year. Bournemouth got relegated because the goal line system wasn't working. Yep. If they got that point against Villa, against Sheffield United, they stayed up. Yeah. So, I mean, it's ridiculous, mate. And nothing's been done about that. Bournemouth wasn't given any, from what I know anyway, Bournemouth wasn't given any compensation. They weren't, you know, I mean, years ago when we had that Tevez drama at West Ham, we paid fucking Sheffield United 50 million or something in compensation.
Yeah, but that was a strange one. I know you broke the transfer rules and stuff, but the thing is, if you look at that season, we've spoken about it personally many times, and it wasn't Tevez that saved you from relegation. He played a part, but it was, if you look who your top goal scorer was, wasn't it Bobby Zamora or Marlon Harewood or something?
Probably Bobby Zamora. But...
And the thing is, Sheffield United that season weren't good enough. Like
Tevez was poor for about the first 3 or 4 months that he came in because he couldn't adjust to the game. It took him ages. And then it was when we played Tottenham that he turned up, scored his first goal, free kick. You end up winning it with a last-minute goal. Fucking
4-3. Paul Stalteri, the Canadian right back, scored, didn't he? Yeah, I remember going mad. I was at my ex-girlfriend's house at the time with all of her family, and they were all West Ham fans. And like when Stalteri scored, I just stood up and was like going nuts. And then I thought, oh my god, I'm in a house full of West Ham fans. Time for me to go home, maybe.
To be fair, I mean, it is what it is, mate. But yeah. I don't know. The referees need to up it, man, because they're really starting to annoy me. I mean, I looked at the game yesterday. West Ham lost because of... It was West Ham's fault we lost that game. And I put on the West Ham Facebook thing at half-time. I just said, like, once again, when it matters, we don't turn up. And I'd say 9 out of 10 fans agreed with what I said, liked my comment or commented on it and said, like, yeah, you're right. And then I had this one guy telling me people are just going to moan. We should just be happy with the season that we're having and just be happy that we've done something that we've unthinkable. And I said, no, I agree. We have done something like we wouldn't have thought of. We should enjoy what we're doing this season. But now we're there. We've been in the top 7 near enough whole season. I don't want to be top. I don't want to be 8th. After all this being so close to Europe and then being known as the team that bottled it and finished 8th, I can't handle that. That's worse for me than a relegation fight because we've been there for so long. We've been playing so well. And then What I meant by my comments was every time we've had a chance to pull away, like this week, Tottenham drop points. We and if we beat Everton, we're 9 points clear with Everton. We would have been, I think, 5 points clear of Tottenham. So with three games left, that near enough guarantees you Europe, because that means Everton have to win all three, because they had an extra game to play. So they have to win all four games to be in front of us, because their goal difference was poorer than ours. But because we fouled again, we didn't turn up on the day, we didn't perform. I mean, you look at the individual players, Benrahma, poor. You know, and I think it's got to do with the, you know, his religion, that he's fasting and stuff. I personally wouldn't have started him because he's been playing these games and he's fasting at the same time. His body's going to be fatigued, mate. I would have left him on the bench, let Bowen play, because at the end of the day, he can't break his fasting daylight hours. So he would have been knackered. His body would have been, the lad must have been feeling weak and whatever. And like, he had a poor performance, and then all the West Ham fans and that getting on his back. He missed that header. He should have scored that header, I know, but I don't know, mate. We were poor all over the pitch yesterday. And as much as people want to say we dominated the ball and all that, yeah, that's all well and good, but we didn't do nothing. Every time we went near Everton's box, we just give the ball away. We didn't create any chances. Pickford didn't make a save. Pickford's like the most inconsistent goalkeeper, you know. He's got a calamity in him. And we didn't even test him, not once, not even a shot from distance. Injuries again. I'm sick and tired. I'm getting so angry with all these injuries. Crespo's now out again. Lanzini's gone off again. And I'm just at that point now, man, where I can't be asked anymore, because it's totally against us. There's something that's like there that's totally against us. Because even if we win our next three games now, it don't matter. You know, it don't matter. We're not going to get top four. My only hope is that top five gets it, because then we can finish fifth. If Leicester lose all three games and we win all three games, we finish above Leicester. So that's my only hope. I think Liverpool's going to get top four now. So, because I just don't see Liverpool dropping points. You see what they've got, you know. I'm worried about Everton. I mean, the only thing that keeps me remotely happy against Spurs is that it's still 2 points above you, and you have to play Leicester on the final day. So that's like a basic, you know, Europe six-pointer right there. So we could probably capitalise on that if we win our last three games. But from what I saw yesterday, I'm not confident. I'm not. Antonio had an off day. Lingard, where's he been the last few games? So I'm starting to understand what all these Man United fans have said about him.
Yeah, I did tell you he's hot and cold. He's been excellent,
I'm not going to slate him, because he was playing like, he was like world-class form when he came, you know. He was like game-changer different. The last few games, you know, with all the praise, has got to come criticism. You know, you've got to take it, and he hasn't been performing. Again, D-Hop again, rushing in. And the goal, mate, the goal just sums up everything what I'm saying. He rushes in to mark the defender, vacates the space, so then their centre-back plays one pass through, Calvert-Lewin runs past Dawson. Dawson has nowhere near him, doesn't even put in a tackle because he can't. And he just slips it past Fabianski. And I'm just like, what? Really? And from that moment, we didn't look like we were going to do anything. And fair play to Everton. They came. They knew that we were deadly on the attack when we're on it. When we're on it, we're one of the... I say we're in the top four best attacks in the league when we're on it. Like with Lingard interchanging with Antonio, Benrahma and all. We've got so many different things we could do. And they knew that. So they just sat back and said, come do it. Come break us down. And the thing is, the key to him wasn't Calvert-Lewin, it was Allen. It was that centre DM. Again, I told you, that's the most crucial position on the football pitch. He broke down everything West Ham did. Do I think he should have been on the pitch? No, I think he should have got a couple of yellow cards before he even got a yellow card. Same as Davies. And this goes into my point about the referees. They weren't giving yellow cards. And then Lingard didn't even do anything to Davies, and he got booked. Maybe because of his reaction, because he was screaming, fuck off the referee.
Yeah, you can't swear at the refs, can you? That's the thing.
I was screaming a lot worse at TV. So.
I can imagine. Yeah, I can imagine. But we said it, though, didn't we, before, when we were talking about it before the game. We'd said that Dominic Calvert-Lewin would score because he's not done much during the week, and like in the last few weeks, actually. And he did. And I thought, yeah, like you said, I saw glimpses of the West Ham game. I didn't watch all of it, but the result was right. And I think, you know, you're going to be lucky now if you do qualify for top four. But I think, honestly, I think the other West Ham fan was right. If you get Europe, then you should be happy with it. If you don't get European football, it can be seen as a disappointment. And I think it
He was saying that. He was saying that if we don't get European football, we should still be happy with the season that we had.
I said,
you should be happy with the achievement that we've done. I said, mate, if we finish eighth, we've achieved nothing. Eighth gets us nothing. We just finished eighth in the league. And when you've been in the top seven all this time, finishing eighth is an underachievement, not an achievement. And that's why I'm so angry. I love the club so much. And for the first time in my life, or the second time, we've had a chance of being in Europe, like through the league and performing amazingly, getting top four. And we keep blowing it when we have these opportunities. Chelsea, the other week, they were there for the taking. We didn't go for it. Newcastle, the week before, we got it back to 2-2 and then conceded the goal straight away. Who does it? West Ham does it. And I'm sick and tired of it. We get there, we're on the cusp, we can feel it, and then we're like, I can't bother. It looked like the players didn't want it yesterday. And that's the thing that really, like, bums me out, because, like, I found this thing online, like, where you can predict results for the rest of the season, and it predicts the table and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was being realistic. I think I put Leicester to lose against Man United, lose against Chelsea, and draw against Tottenham. And I put Liverpool to win pretty much every game. And I did West Ham to draw against Brighton, because they're our bogey team. But then I did us to beat West Brom and beat Southampton. And I think Tottenham finished seventh, Leicester finished sixth, West Ham finished fifth, Liverpool finished fourth, Chelsea third, Man United, Man City. Now, if we finish fifth, I'm sure that should be getting Champions League. But no one's talking about it. No West Ham fans are talking about it. And I'm like, what's going on here? If Chelsea win the Champions League, it falls to fifth. But if Man City win the Champions League, it falls to fifth. Because they're winning the Champions League. So it doesn't matter if they win the league.
Yeah.
It's still going to fall down to fifth place. Because you're allowed to have five English teams in the Champions League if one English team wins it. Because you're allowed five teams, basically.
So we'll have to research to see if it does drop down. But
I know it does if Chelsea win it, we do. But then it's the same theoretical thing if Man City win it. So technically, fifth place should be getting you Champions League now. So
fingers crossed. I mean, it would be helpful, wouldn't it? But I think, yeah, it's going to be a tough one. It's a tough running for all the teams. And like you said, I think Tottenham's game against Leicester at the end of the season is going to be a...
Mate, it's not tough for us, though. It's not tough for us. We've got two teams that have just basically safe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One's just been relegated. If we don't win all three games, then it's on us. If anyone else had the running that we had, if Chelsea had Burnley, Everton, Brighton, West Brom, Southampton, they'd be winning every game.
Yeah,
and we've been doing that all season. Our bad things this season is we haven't turned up against the so-called Big Six. You know, I think Tottenham we've done them, but the rest of them we've lost. We've lost to Arsenal. We've lost to Man United. We lost to Liverpool. We lost to City. We lost to Chelsea twice. We've not turned up against them teams. And that's where we've let ourselves down. But all the rest of them, I think it was only Newcastle that have beat us. There might be more, but I think Newcastle was the only one that beat us when I last looked that up. And I was just like, that's insane. Normally, it's the other way around. Normally, we get results against the big teams and lose to all these minor teams. And I'm just like, oh, whatever. But, mate, yeah, the game, I was pissed off. Like, I was sitting there nervous and before the game started. During the game, depressed. After the game, I was depressed. It took me hours to get out of it. And in some ways, I just feel like I don't know if I actually want West Ham to do this, because I don't know if I could take it. If West Ham did this on the regular, I don't think I could take this, mate. Because it's just... All I want is Champions League football, just to say that my team is in the Champions League once. That's all I want. Even if we're in the qualifying and we get AC Milan and they knock us out. Yeah, I don't mind, because then at least we've been there and then we go into the Europa League. I don't mind. But if we finish eighth, it'll be worse than last season where we just stayed up for me. Because of all this hope, all of this, you know, oh my God, like Rio Ferdinand and Glenn Hoddle both saying West Ham are going to get top four. Like all these big pundits are saying, yeah, West Ham are going to do it. I think West Ham are going to do it, or at least Europe. And then they finish eighth. It's such a West Ham thing to do. And I can't handle it if they do that. I really can't. But yeah, fair play to Everton. They deserved it on the day. They had a game plan and they did it, mate. But just before we move on, Arsenal 3, West Brom 1. Big Sam's finally relegated.
Yeah, and it was on the cards, wasn't it? Let's be honest. They were always going to go down. I mean, what are the point? What is the point of teams like West Brom and Norwich? They come up, they go down. They come up, they go. What is the point? Like, there should become a point where the Premier League just goes, do you know what, guys? No. Like, you're staying in the Championship because, like, you're just pointless. Like, you're up and down. It's...
You can't take that dream away from them. You basically want to be ESL then, don't you?
No, it's just I find they're a pointless team. Like, they'll go into the Championship next season. They'll get 100 points. They'll come up and then they'll be in the Premier League again and get, like, 30 points and go down again. And it's like, come on, guys. Like,
really? West Brom was in it for a few years, though, before they went down last time. They stayed up for a few years.
Yeah, but they, I mean, even if you go as far back, like they've always been an up and down team. Don't they call them like the boing boing baggies or something? So,
I mean, yeah, I mean, West Brom have got some good players, mate. The list that I've made to sign players, I actually haven't put any West Broms on there, but I think I might now. I just thought about that Pereira, man, I'll take him at West Ham.
Fair enough.
Obviously, Dean Garner, he's been injured a lot this season, but I'll bring him back to West Ham. Johnson, the goalkeeper. The only reason why I've not put him down is because we need to strengthen other areas before we strengthen goalkeeper, in my opinion. Yeah. But yeah, we're talking about Champions League, West Ham. Moving on. So what's your thoughts about Champions League being moved to London, potentially? Obviously, with Turkey being put in the red section or whatever it's red level with England and coronavirus. What's your thoughts on it being moved to London, potentially?
It has to be. It makes sense, like, from the virus's standpoint, because to be honest with you, if they let the two English teams go to Turkey when it's on this banned travel list, there's going to be uproar. Because why? If they can go and play football there, why can't I go on holiday there? I mean, we're doing exactly the same thing. We're going to the country, so the risk is the same, though. It just makes sense, like, given the situation the world's in at the moment and we're coming out of the pandemic in Europe and in our country particularly. It makes sense, two English teams, let's have it in London, let's have it at Wembley, you know, get some fans involved maybe as a test event, something like that. Because to go all the way to Turkey when it's on this ban list doesn't make any like logical sense to anyone. And I think what you're going to see is if that happens, you're going to see more and more people break the rules in our country because they're like, well, footballers are doing one thing, you know, NHS workers can't go on holiday to work Turkey and we'll have all this like nonsense. And it's like, let's not be controversial. Let's just get the Champions League to London, have another Wembley final.
And what it also does, mate, it opens the possibility of fans being in the stadium as well.
Because I guarantee you, if it's in Turkey, and people will go, and they'll take the whatever the fine is, like the, you know, isolating back for 10 days or something, or people will find creative ways around not.
Yeah, I mean, what you've got to do in a way is you've got to say to the Turkish FA or whatever it is, like, look, your country's been put on this list. It's two English teams.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the government's not going to allow them to travel because
mm-hmm.
they're in talks with the government now.
Yeah.
Personally, I think it'll be all hush hush. They'll give the government some money and it'll be, yeah, you can travel for free because that's what the government's like. But theoretically, you can't let that happen because, as you said, you're going to have people then saying, well, why are footballers allowed to do it? They already get paid more than me for kicking a football around the pitch when I do this really important job for society and I don't get paid half as much as what they do.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you're now letting them go to a place that I can't go in the holiday or whatever. Because you have people that are, you know, not all there in the head thinking that when realistically it is unfair, but why would you want to go to this country when there's a crazy outbreak where it's getting really bad there? Why would you want to go there? It's like someone saying right now, I want to go to India. Why would you go to India when there's a big coronavirus outbreak? Because then when you come back, you're bringing it back here to make it worse for this country. But people don't care, mate. It's all about what they want and what they want to do again and what they can get out of life. And that's what's wrong with people in this world, is what they can get and how much they can get of it instead of worrying about other people. But that's another issue. But me, yeah, I think they should move it to London. It makes more sense. They've done it with the Euros.
Yeah.
They've moved a lot more games to Wembley. So for me personally, yeah, they should be doing it. Because at the end of the day, it makes sense. We're the envious. We're envious of all the other countries are envious of us with the vaccine and all this nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, and regardless of my opinions of the vaccine or whatever, if these things are all in place and the country's thriving, there's the threat of coronavirus is low, why not bring it here? Because at the end of the day, as I said to you, it opens up the door for fans to be in the stadium. Now, can you imagine if they do that? Chelsea fans or Man City fans, for the first time ever, them fans get to see him lift the Champions League trophy instead of watching it on TV. Mate, it changes everything. Give Turkey it next year. Let Turkey have it again next year if that's the big problem. The problem is it with these UEFA companies and whatever, they do it years in advance. So there's probably someone else that's already got it next year, so they can't allow Turkey to have it again. So it's just bullshit, mate. And at the end of the day, money talks, and it'll be money that wins at the end of the day. And it might be, yeah, Wembley can have it, but anything that's made has to go to the Turkish FA.
Give it to
something
him.
Like that.
Just yeah, to be honest, if I was Boris, I'd just, you know, I'd say to UEFA, look, it's happening in London. How much money do you want for it?
Yeah,
that's it. We'll give it to you. You know,
Anyway, you got to get it. Next Monday, we're literally back to normal. Effectively, it's only social distancing that we still have. And then the next month, it all changes where there's no social distancing. So our country at the minute is ahead of any other country out there that are doing it properly. You've got America, but most of them states are not doing it properly. So they're irrelevant. But yeah, I think the Champions League should be moved to London.
For sure.
Will it happen? I don't know. But let's just hope that it is. But my only thing is, does it give Chelsea an advantage, giving it moved to London?
No, you know, not really. I think Wembley's neutral, isn't it?
But mate, it makes it easier for them. They don't have to travel as far. You know, City then have to travel. Where it was a neutral ground, they both had to travel the same amount of distance. They both had to do the same journeys and whatever. Chelsea's only down the road, theoretically, to Man City. You know, Man City are, what, 5 hours away, 6 hours away? Yeah, they'll probably fly. But still, like, it is what it is. I don't know. Psychologically, I think it gives the advantage to Chelsea. But yeah, we'll talk more about the Champions League final itself when we get nearer the time. And as I said before, we'll get the Chelsea fan on to give his opinion. If anyone's listening and you are a Man City fan and you can prove you're a Man City fan, send us a message and we'll get you on to give your thoughts about it and have a little debate with the Chelsea fan to see who's going to win. I think that'd be pretty entertaining, wouldn't it?
For sure, definitely.
All right, well, let's move into the last section of today. It's who West Ham and Spurs should buy. We've got 5 picks and who we should sell. So, do you want me to start with it, Bill?
Yeah, you can go first.
All right, so we're being realistic with these picks. I've not got a set amount of money. Obviously, it's players that I think we can get and who we want. Obviously, I don't know how much clubs that have got these players are going to want for them, but it's who I think realistically we should go for. Firstly, I would sell Yarmolenko, straight off the back. I would release him on a free if no one wants to buy him. Just get him out of the club. Felipe Anderson, he's going to be coming back on loan. I don't think Moyes likes him anyway. He doesn't fit what Moyes wants. And we've got a lot better wingers at the minute that do a better job. So I'd sell him. He'll probably get at least 15 to 20 million. So that would boost up the transfer budget. And then I'd sell Diop. Get him out of the club. You know, at the end of the day, he's making mistakes left, right and centre. Maybe he'll be good in the future. Maybe he will, right? But he's not good at the minute. He's cost us too many... I wouldn't say he's cost us points, but he's cost us too many goals that has led to us losing the game or drawing the game or, you know, the confidence being shot. Because Dawson was performing great against with Ogbonna next to him. As soon as Diop's there with him, he goes to pot. Same as yesterday. With the goal where Everton scored, Diop vacated the space, left so much space in between. Dawson didn't read what Diop was going to do, so he played Calvert-Lewin onside. There's your 1-0 goal. And it's just shocking. It's absolute shocking. Other than that, I can't really think of anyone else that I'd sell. I would have had Lanzini on there, but he's just started to perform all right the last couple of weeks. So he's another player that we could keep around. But here's the buying ones. Now, I don't know if we're going to have a player on our list the same, but I'll start off with one that I think is a must. We have to sign this guy. He's similar pace-wise as Antonio. I think he'll get in behind so much. He scored so many goals in the Championship this season. And no, I'm not talking about Ivan Toney. I'm talking about Adam Armstrong from Blackburn. I think he's a West Ham player. He fits the mould of what we need at the minute. Mate, he's banging in goals in the Championship. Whenever you see Blackburn scoring, it's near enough always him. I think he would be literally amazing at West Ham. I think he's exactly what we need. We're crying out for a player just like him, because when you need Antonio to come off, he's got the pace as well. He can run in behind. He's a great finisher. So, yeah, Adam Armstrong, he's a must. He's a must. If we don't buy him, then for me, we're going to lose out, because we'll just buy some stupid striker again, probably like Olivier Giroud or something, and then we're back to square one. I've put Jesse Lingard on here because I think we should sign him. Do I think it's realistic enough? It all depends where we finish. If we get Champions League football, yeah, I think we'll get him. Europa League, it's 50-50. We finish out of Europe, we've got no chance of getting him. But I want to get him, but it's one of them things. The next two on the list are both from Brighton.
Okay.
First one is Bissouma. It's
a good player.
I want him because you've seen this season when Souček and Rice have been tired, or you know they're having off games, or they're not available, we're lacking. Now, if you've got Rice, Bissouma and Souček in that midfield, and you have Bissouma and Rice sitting, and Souček frees him up so much just to make them runs in the box, it gives him more freedom. And for me, he's a top draw player, and there's going to be big clubs after him. And if we get into Europe, we can take advantage of that and bring someone of his quality in, because we're not going to be able to get him normally. But no, if we get Europe, we could bring him in, because he'd want to. All right, Brighton, yeah, you might like being by the seaside and everything. But if you're going to West Ham, London, football, you know, football club tradition, whatever, and Europe, all right, yeah, I'll go there. And yeah, we could take advantage of it, and that's what I'm hoping. The second player from Brighton is Ben White. Ben White, for me, is going to be an amazing defender when he finally, you know, after a few more years, hits that full potential. I think he's going to be amazing. And I think we need him in defence. He's that cool, calm, collected player. Him alongside Ogbonna, for me, makes our defence stronger. And that's why I think we should sign him. Once again, do I think we can get him? Probably not. But the fact that we can get Europe could sway him to come. And for me, it'd be an amazing signing. But I have to wait and see. Now, the fifth one, it's realistic if we get Europe, but it's an ambitious one. Now, the player I want to get is Andre Silva.
Okay.
Portuguese striker.
Yeah, good player.
Yeah. So he's someone that I would love to have at West Ham. He's scoring goals like mad in Germany at the minute. And personally, once again, we need two strikers in the summer, because Antonio is not even a striker. But the fact that he gets injured so much, we can't have him and another striker. We need to bring in two strikers. If I could have either Silva or Armstrong, I'd take Armstrong, just because he's done it in a Championship, which I feel we can do it in the Prem. Silva would have to adjust, and it would be like a Haller situation again, where if he doesn't adjust, it's a waste of money, because he's gonna cost about 30, 40 million. Whereas Armstrong, I think we could get for like 15, 20 mil if we, you know, go to Blackburn all nicely and button them up. Yeah. But yeah, mate, if West Ham signed Armstrong, Lingard, Bissouma and Ben White in the summer, and we're in top Champions League or Europa League, I'll be fucking happy. I'll be over the moon, mate, over the moon, because I just think they take us to the next level and they add depth, you know, because then Dawson can come in and be a defender when we need him. I mean, even if you don't sell Diop, then you've got Diop as a second option. That was the fourth player I was going to sell, Balbrena, the centre-back. That was the fourth one I would have sold. Yeah, I mean, I mentioned earlier on that I would have brought in that Johnston from West Brom as a goalkeeper, but I think we need to strengthen them areas more than the goalkeeper at the minute. if we've got like crazy money available, which won't happen because it's West Ham, then I'd bring him in as well, Johnston as well. Or even Nick Pope, test Burnley's resolve with him. I mean, he'll be a good signing for West Ham. But I'm saying all this, but I know what's going to happen. We'll do the same thing we did last time he was in Europe. We'll buy all these stupid players that won't fit the Premier League, you know, like the Zazas and the Tors and freaking... What was the other guy's name? The Algerian guy. Fucking.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. He was awful.
Yeah. But he does bits in Europe. But he comes to the Premier and he was... I can't think of his name, but yeah. But they're my picks, mate. What do you think of them?
Yeah, there's some interesting ones on there. Adam Armstrong wasn't one I expected. I mean, he's done really well for Blackburn, hasn't he? Let's be honest. Could he do it in the Premier League? Maybe. He's a bit short in terms of size, but yeah, maybe he could do it. I mean, you never know. He could do. Yeah, Bissouma's a good shout, I think, as well in central midfield. Andre Silva's one that is an interesting one. He's got more goals in the Bundesliga than Haaland. And again, yeah, I mean, there's some really good shouts on there. Some of them were really unexpected. I think the one that really threw me was the first one, which was Adam Armstrong. I was like, no, didn't think of that one. That was a really good shout. And to be fair, that's probably a realistic signing, if we're honest. That's
what I'm saying. That's why I went slightly realistic, because a Championship striker, West Ham would go for him. His club's still in the Championship next year. He ain't going to... got a chance being promoted like Ivan Tony has. Mm-hmm. So I thought, yeah, Adam Armstrong, I've been watching him for like the last couple of years and thinking he's got potential, mate. And the fact that you said he's short, yeah, but he's got the pace. He's like Vardy. He can get in behind, and that's what we need to start doing.
Yep.
You know, like you could even play him and Antonio together. Antonio comes short, he goes in behind. Mate, it's what we need. And I think the Armstrong lad, he's the sort of player that if we get Europe, defences in Europe wouldn't want to play against him at all.
Yeah, he's tricky. But he's tricky.
It is what it is, and I don't know, we'll see what happens. I just thought it's a signing that West Ham, you know, possibly could make without breaking the bank, because our owners are tight. And it's convenient that they're tight, because one of them owns a freaking Anne Summers.
Fair enough. All right. So for me, I've gone kind of almost realistic, but kind of there's a few dream ones in there as well.
Right. You can't have Ronaldinho, Kaká, Rivaldo.
There's no icon cards in this game. Fair enough. Yeah. So, yeah, I think for me, I'll start with who I want to sell, and it's a big list. I think we've got to get rid of players like Lloris. We've got to get rid of Alderweireld. We've got to get rid of Deiveson Sanchez. We've got to get rid of Sissoko, Højbjerg, Lo Celso, Lamella, who else can go? Serge Aurier, Ben Davis.
See, I won't get rid of
that's most of
the I won't get rid of Ben Davis or who's the other one you said that I disagree with? Sanchez. Because I think Davis is the sort of player that gives you at least six to seven rating a week. Like he gives you everything he's got. He might not be the best, but he gives you everything you've got. And he fights, mate. That's the difference with him compared to, you know, Aurier or whatever. He won't lose his head. And Sanchez, he's still young, mate. I think he's got the potential of being a top draw centre-back. But he's still young. And when you've got to think you've got Mourinho barking all these orders at him, got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. And then you've got, as you said, a defender next to him who's meant to be the experienced one, but is not doing it either. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard for a young lad. So I would keep Sanchez if I was you. I mean, you're entitled to your opinion, but I would keep Sanchez and Davis. I would sell Lloris because you'd still get a few bob for him, whereas you need to change the area up goalkeeper-wise, in my opinion. But yeah,
yes.
Otherwise.
You're
not selling Kane? I thought you wanted Kane out.
Yeah, he's another one like I would sell, and I think he will go this summer. So yeah, add him to the list too. And I think that would give us a massive transfer key and it would be a big rebuilding job.
Mm. So I've heard today Man United are going to table a £90 million bid for Harry Kane.
I'll take it.
Mate, I think he can get more than 90 mil, but Levy's not going to take 90 mil anyway.
No, he won't. He'll want 120, 130 something. He'll want crazy numbers and he might get them. So good luck to them. Hopefully they do get that kind of money. But for me, I think because I've sold half the team, I think I'm going to add a sixth person in as well, because, you know, we'll be a bit light in terms of numbers. So I think I'm going to address the Lloris one. So for me, sell Hugo Lloris, get rid of him. He has off games. He's been good for us, can't lie. He's a World Cup winning goalkeeper, but he's had the best of his days. For me, I'd bring in the Zagreb keeper, Lajkovic. Tall. Okay. You know, he's still young as a goalkeeper. Don't think we have to pay too much money for him. He's going to be Croatia's number one for a long time. He's got a bright future ahead of him. And I think the type of signing that realistically we could do for something like 12, 15 million, go a bit under the radar.
Yeah, he knocked you out, didn't he? So
yeah, he's a good goalkeeper. He's a really good goalkeeper. A lot of promise. And then centre-back-wise, I'd like the Sevilla centre-back, Koundé.
Yeah.
Solid player. Had a good season with Sevilla. They're challenging for the league title. He's been a big difference for them over the past couple of years. So I think he would fit in really well. He's got a lot of pace, strong, reads the game well.
That's what I mean. That sort of player that I can't put on my list, because West Ham are never going to sign that sort of player. Unless it's on like a loan, we're never going to get that quality of player. So yeah. But Tottenham, based off of where you've been the last few years, you could pull that off. But it depends on the manager. But that's a good shout.
Yeah, Koundé. And then sort of a bit more of an unrealistic one is Pau Torres, the Villarreal centre-back.
I don't think that's unrealistic. I don't think it's unrealistic. If you don't get European football, it won't happen. But I don't think it's unrealistic if you do get European football. But again, it depends on who you bring in. If you bring in freaking Unai Emery, then you're definitely going to get him.
We don't want an Arsenal reject manager. We've had a Chelsea one. We don't want an Arsenal one. No, definitely not that. And I think, why not? Pau Torres is a solid centre-back. It's been, you know, Villarreal is probably their best player. He's a rock at the back. They've got to the Europa League final. So, yeah, him and Koundé would be two good centre-backs that I think are achievable for us, because we need a revamp at the back. And continuing that revamp, I'm going to go for a new right-back as well. I'm going to go for Denzel Dumfries, PSV.
Okay, I was worried you were going to say Soufal then.
No, you won't sell him. I think realistically, like, again, PSV are not going to want a lot of money for Denzel Dumfries, maybe 20 million max.
He's a good shot, Dumfries.
It's a good right back. He's got a lot of pace, good going forward, good coming back. You know, we might take him a couple of seasons to adjust to the Premier League, but again, he's another quality player that I think we can get quite cheaply too.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of revamping the front three, I think for me, you know, we've said Kane's gone, so I want to go for a bit more pace up front. I think that's the way the Premier League works now. So I'm going to go for a striker that plays for Salzburg. I'm going to go for Patson Daka.
Okay. Talent,
has lots of pace. He's one of the future.
I knew that was coming. One of your favourite players, yeah.
Yeah, he is. And he's got a bright future ahead of him. Like, he's still very young. Technically, he's got a lot to learn. But I think
it's Liverpool, though.
Yeah, maybe, but the thing is, he reminds me a lot of like a young Eto. So he's got a lot of strength, a lot of pace.
That's a big, big comparison.
It is. It's a huge one. It's a huge one. But I think if he goes to the right club, he could develop the right way. Yeah. And I think he would play at Tottenham if Kane isn't playing. Because if you had
I don't trust him to develop there, though, because Tottenham don't develop players that well. I mean, you could say Harry Kane, but how many loans did Harry Kane have?
He did.
And even when Kane was coming through, it was only the fans that made it happen, because the manager at the time, I think might have even been Poch, didn't want to play Kane, and they kept playing him in Europa League, and he kept banging in goals, and then they had to play him in the league. But, I get why you've picked him. I can see him at Tottenham, but I see him more at a team like Liverpool. I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, he fits that pace like narrative, and like my other two picks are going to fit that narrative too. So for me, I'd have Harvey Barnes from Leicester. Slightly a little bit more unrealistic, depending on who finishes where, and they'd want a big fee for him and whatever else. But
yeah,
if we had him out on the right, Patson Daka up front, and Son on the left, that's a lot of pace. You've got a lot of quality there. That would hurt a lot of teams. And, you know, getting him behind is a big thing now. And I just think that front three would dominate. Like, it'd be...
Don't Harvey Barnes play on the left, though?
He does, but he can play on the right. Son can play on the right.
He takes away from his game, though. He cuts in his right foot. I think maybe if you play... I think Son playing up front is the way forward for Tottenham, if you sell Kane. I think Son needs to be your striker. because he times his runs so well. And then that Dhaka guy can be in and around the team kind of thing. But no, I think all your picks so far have been a good shout. So let's see your extra pick that, you know, you shouldn't be having, but we'll let you out.
Well, yeah, I mean, I sold all of our midfield players, haven't I? So we do need a central midfield player. And everyone's going to expect me to pick someone like Grealish. I'm not going for Grealish. I'm going to go for Nabil Fekir.
Right, okay. Raul Betis.
Yep. Raul Betis, okay. Ex-Leon player. He's more of a creative forward player. So he's more of a 10 that we don't have. He's kind of like a, almost like a Christian Eriksen. I don't think he's as good as Christian Eriksen, but he offers the same sort of things. And I think that's what we're missing. We're missing someone who's got a little bit more creativity about them, can see a pass, has good technical abilities. And I don't think he'll stay at Real Betis for too long. I mean, they're not doing much, are they? So, and we probably get him for quite cheap. I know he's had injury problems in the past because, you know, he was going to go to Arsenal or Liverpool a few seasons ago and they didn't sign him because he's had injury problems. But I think he could be a player that's realistic for us and he offers something that we don't have.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think all six of your picks, I think, are great shouts. I mean, the last one, I think if you're going to go for a sort of player like that, you want to go for the Leon lad. Is it Awar. I think he's a better player and he's younger as well. So I think it's all about nowadays, if you want to do it, is bringing these players in young and bringing them on because, you know, the potential. Because obviously our clubs, Tottenham are more bigger, obviously, but you look at it, we're not going to keep players. So if we're going to bring these young lads in, we need to bring them in early so then we can, you know, get as much money for them eventually when they move on to, like, the big elite clubs. And if that Dhaka, for example, I can see him being at Tottenham and then joining a Liverpool or a Bayern Munich or someone. So that's a good shout because you're bringing him in for, like, 20, 25 mil and then probably selling for, like, 60, 70 mil because he's got the potential. Same as if you bought in Awar. Or whatever his name is, but yeah, I don't know. I think your picks are, yeah, your picks are pretty good. I think your last sort of picks you made were a bit like you started off good, you're building up, and then you went. I think that Fekir guy, I think there's a reason why Liverpool didn't sign him, mate. There's a reason why, and it's got to be to do with his injury, it's got to be something that's pretty bad, and that's why he's staying at Betis. Why has he not gone somewhere else by now? He's a good player, but why has he not got somewhere else? There's got to be a reason.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, maybe he's got like really dodgy knees or something, or like some sort of heart defect. Or maybe
you look at one of the best players that's ever played in the Premier League, and I might surprise a few people when I say this, but one of the best players that's ever played in the Premier League, led the King.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, he was amazing. I don't care that he played for Tottenham. He was amazing, but his dodgy knee stopped him. He couldn't train all week. And he used to play the game. So you're like, Tottenham wouldn't have signed Ledley King if they knew that. And that's the thing. Same with this Fekir guy. You're not going to sign him.
Maybe he won't pass the medical, but I think, to be honest with you, we need that type of player. And I know you mentioned the Leon kid, but to be honest with you, I can see why people rate him. Like, he's got a lot of, you know, good attributes and whatever else. But for me, I don't see him as achievable for Tottenham. I think he'll go to a bigger club. He'll end up at like Man United or Man City or someone. And then,
yeah, you know, I mean, to be fair though, Arsenal are still trying to get him. So if Arsenal are in for him, Tottenham can get him.
Yeah, but Arsenal say they're buying everyone. I remember when they tried to buy Luis Suarez and offered like £40 million. Like, you know, Arsenal are a joke club.
They wouldn't offer the £1. That was a problem.
Yeah, and Arsenal are a joke club. I mean, who are they going to sign next year? Like, they bought Thomas Partey. Like, come on. Like,
mate, talking about big summers, this is a big summer for Arsenal. I was watching some stuff yesterday and they were saying on there that Arteta's staying and they're going to give him loads of money to spend in the summer. But then who's going to go to Arsenal when they're not in Europe?
That's it. And the thing is, like, players now are fickle. So they won't go to your club if you're not in Europe. So even a big club like Arsenal, and they are a big club, like, it hurts me to say it, but they still are a big club given the money that they've got, the facilities they've got, the stadium, the history and all that kind of stuff. But if they're not in Europe, players are like, well, I want to play at least in the Europa League. Like, then with the promise of we're going to get to the Champions League in the next season or two, otherwise I'm going. And I think for Arsenal, the worst thing they did was sell Ozil. Like, I know he didn't fit their system. He's a bit lazy, but on his day, like, you've seen it. They've had no creativity this season. Nothing.
I disagree with you, mate. I disagree with you. Ozil was done. He was done. And the worst thing about it was he had this beef with the board off. The board didn't want him playing. They basically said to Arteta, and you know they did, he's not playing in this team anymore.
They wanted him out. The board wanted him gone because he was on too much money and he was sitting at home playing Fortnite and getting bad backs and stuff and couldn't train and whatever else. But the type of player that he was, if they could have kept him fit and playing, he could have fired them into Europe this season, like just with his creativity alone.
But as the saying goes, if Mahanty had a dick, she'd be my uncle.
I'm glad they sold him and they are where they are, which is brilliant, isn't it? You know, they're on decline. And they've got a good, to be fair, they've got a few good young players that they could drag, that could drag Arsenal through, like Saka and Smith Rowe.
I think Saka, yeah. Smith Rowe, I've not seen enough of him yet. He's not done enough. Saka, you just look what he did in that game yesterday. It was him single-handedly won that game for him.
But yeah, he's quality. Like, as much as it hurts me to say, he is a quality player. Smith Rowe is a decent player. Don't think he's the same sort of level as Saka or the same potential.
But then that's what I mean. Like, you always compare, like, you compare your team to other teams and whose players would you take. There's not many teams in the league that I'd pick over my players. Like, I look at, obviously, Liverpool, I'd pick certain players, obviously. Man City, obviously, Man United. Chelsea, there's a few players that I would take, like Kante and stuff like that. I ain't going to list them all. But like when you get to like Tottenham and Arsenal, there's not many that I would take, mate, over the players that we have in our team.
I wouldn't take any Arsenal players to Tottenham. None of them. Not one.
I'd take Saka.
I wouldn't even have him.
No, I'd take Saka and probably Odegaard.
Yeah, maybe. But he's on loan from Real Madrid and I don't think he'll stay at Arsenal because, you know, they're not going to get European football. So
Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest thing for Arsenal. They need to sign Odegaard. But you know, Arsenal, let Odegaard go back and get Danny Ceballos again.
Yeah. Let Arsenal make all these dodgy signings. Let them go and buy, like, I don't know, someone from West Brom, like Mateus Pereira or someone, and like big him up on Arsenal Fan TV.
He'll do good on there. He'll do good for Arsenal.
No, he won't. He won't. Arsenal, like, they rave on about they've got Edu as this, like, transfer guru, but he's not a transfer guru. You look at the players that he's brought in, Thomas Partey, that Gabriel.
Players.
Yeah, but that Gabriel is awful.
Martinelli's all right.
I don't rate him. I've never rated him. I think they bought him from
Tottenham bias coming through, everyone.
No, it's not. I just don't think he's up to that. I don't think he's up to it, if I'm honest. I haven't seen that much of him, but
that's it. You've not seen much of him. You can't make comments when you've not seen much of players. Like, I could sit and say, well, I watch a lot of football. I watch every game. I don't just watch Tottenham like you most of the time, Billy.
Fair enough. But yeah, I mean, if our clubs can make those signings, you know, for Tottenham, if we get those signings, that's like a dream come true and we'll finish in the top four. But I'll be honest with you, if we get one of them.
Here's what it is. It all depends. If you sell Kane, then...
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, the people that we've got in charge, I don't trust them with the money.
Same here. This is what I'm saying. I don't trust our board to give Moyes enough money to bring the sort of players that I've suggested. Now, I've not suggested crazy, ambitious ones. You know, I've gone the best of the rest of the Premier League, you know, like the Armstrong from Championship, Bissouma, Ben White, like these sort of players. You could go to Brighton and say, here's 50 million for both of them.
It's a lot of money. You know? It's a lot of money.
They might reject it, but West Ham won't do that. It'll be, oh, we'll offer you 15 million for Bissouma, but we'll pay you £5 up front. West Ham. We'll give you 5 million up front, and then we'll give you 10 with, like, in installments here. And then if he gets 50 goals in a season, we'll give you another 20 million. And then that's what they do all the time. Like, the amount of times we've had players lined up, and then they've been like, oh, yeah, it's because we didn't offer this or we didn't offer that. And I'm just like, oh, West Ham, fuck off. I can't deal with it. And that's why we still need to get rid of our board. But everyone seems to forget because we've had this great season and forgot about the board. And this is what David Sullivan and and Gold have loved about this season. It's basically took away all of the negativity that was around.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know if it's if it's the board's fault half the time. To be honest with you, I think most of the time it's the scouting team, the transfer team. Whether the West Ham that they do that.
Sullivan gets involved too much, mate. Sullivan's the one that makes these signings. Like he backed off and give Pellegrini. He brought in a director of football with Pellegrini, mm-hmm. and he gave him all the chance to make the signings. And he signed all these shit players. Yeah.
I mean, how can these, like, to be honest with you, like, I'm not saying I'm any sort of football expert or anything, but how can you make these crap signings? Like, it's obvious who you, I know sometimes clubs won't do deals for the players that you want, and in real life it's a little bit more difficult than it is.
You know, the worst player West Ham ever signed, oh, he's got to be up there, especially in my generation, is that fucking Roberto guy that was in goal for us. And he fucking balls and, like, oh, mate, honestly, I don't know how they signed him. And then we couldn't sell him. And then we put him on loan to Alvarez or wherever it is. And then we let him leave on the free. But it's just like, honestly, wow. It is what it is, mate. But
yeah,
I just hope that, you know, we can get at least three of them. I would be happy with Armstrong, Lingard and Bissouma. And then again, I want White as well. I want Ben White. I'd be happy if we got Armstrong, Bissouma and White. Because Lingard, I think he's unrealistic. I think someone like Roma are coming for him, and he's not going to come to West Ham over Roma or something like that, because he'd be in Champions League football, and I just don't think we're going to get that unless we can finish fifth and get it, because I think we can finish fifth. So,
fair dues.
Yeah. Is what it is. But yeah, thanks for this build. Been another great podcast. Enjoyed having another chat with you, with some of your delusional comments about Tottenham, as per usual. But yeah, I mean, it's been great. And we'll be back again in a few days for another one. Probably building up again the following weekend games. Maybe recap what's going to happen this week. Because obviously we've got a few games that's happened midweek, haven't we? Potentially Fulham could be relegated tonight. If Man United drop points against Leicester and Liverpool, Man City win the league. So there's a lot of things that could happen we could talk about. But we'll see what happens on that one, I guess. But yeah, guys, so I hope you all have enjoyed the podcast today. We had some technical issues, so we didn't release a podcast on the weekend, but that will be back to normal for this week. We'll be doing two of them. We're having a special podcast coming up soon, right? Isn't that, Bill? What was it we're going to talk about?
Yeah, we're going to do like a throwback Thursday, and we're going to talk about like a legend from the Premier League era. We're going to start with our own teams. We're each going to pick one legend that we're going to pick to talk about. So the first one we're going to do is a West Ham one. And yeah, we'll let you pick whoever you want to talk about. Could be anyone.
Give me some comments down below. Give me some comments on our socials who I should pick for West Ham. I mean, I already know who I'm going to pick, but if you could sway my mind, guys, if you pick some comments, you put some good West Ham legends down below. It won't be Bobby Moore. I'm just going to say that right now, simply because Bobby Moore was around before I was, and I didn't see much of him live. So it has to be players that I've seen live and watched live. So yeah, that's what I'm going to say. But
yeah, so I think Premier League era players from like, you know, late 90s up till now. Yeah. So we're going to go with Enner Valencia.
I mean, he's a shot. I mean, to be honest, mate, you've got Dimitri Payet. You've got Colton Cole.
Yeah,
he's a shot. You've got Paolo Di Canio, Paolo Wanchope, Joe Cole, Frank Lampard. Sorry, West Ham fans, I should have said that one. You've got all these different players, mate, but I think I know what I'm going to go for. But we'll see what happens. Yeah, so that'll be a podcast maybe down the line in a couple of weeks. Maybe we'll see what happens. We're also going to do a podcast in a few weeks about the England team, who makes our 26-man squad and the starting lineup. So we've got some interesting content coming soon, guys. So keep posted, keep watching, and keep listening. And yeah, follow us on all our socials. We're on every social media site there is, apart from Twitter. We don't like Twitter. So other than that, we're on everything else. And yeah, guys, for now, it's a goodbye from me, a goodbye from Billy, and we'll see you on the next one.
See you on the next one.
To the Festival of Football podcast, presented by Henry Barrett and Billy Harvey. We'll see you on the next one.